to sit here next to me. Yes, I would say, and I will move this one, we are not going to make a break now. I would also like now to invite Eric to join us for this discussion. So we have been pushing everyone to hold questions, so I will invite some of the speakers to join here, and I also invite Tapani, if you are willing to. I think we have been skipping very fast the food for thought for the future CPR that Manfred quickly had to do. I think what Oscar just presented, I think is extremely important, not only for today, but also for the long term. The system is relatively complex, and if we go too fast, we may end up having the same errors that we had in the past, meaning that the mandates were elaborated and the standards were developed and there we had mismatches. So, and this is extremely important, and to a certain extent, what Oscar was highlighting in the presentation was going in that direction. Some of the things may just look a very basic technical aspect. When you really enter in the technical discussion, a technical committee, it may be a nightmare to try to solve it. So, and some of them can only be solved up front. I think we do have, and I also have seen that we have another colleague from the European Commission dealing with the standardization unit, and there are ongoing discussions on standardization requests, which for the time being remain at the very superficial level, if we think the level of detail, which is a list of standards and a time frame. As you may have seen, what Oscar just explained, we are 10 times much more in detail. We are talking about concrete elements of the standard. And with the current framework, current interpretations, there is no flexibility in terms of put it in the standardization request. Ah, okay, 6 months later we go back and we modify it. In the current framework, and since I highlighted this morning also the guidance document development, there is no flexibility. Well, there is. Going through the legal route, meaning a revision of the implementing act. So all this work up front may look a little bit, I would say, losing time, but it's extremely important, because if it's not correctly done, whatever we invent as a system for the future will not work, because the basis is not the correct one. And this is the problem we have today, is that all over the years, we have been fine-tuning the system without really solving the source of the problems. Like I think it was Oscar who said it, or even Eric this morning, it worked up to a certain moment. Now the Commission doesn't accept it anymore. So I think this is extremely important for everyone to keep in mind. Now, of course, the original idea was to think about the long term. As you may have heard during this morning, there are things we can control, there are things we cannot control. The overall objective of this event was also to try to make things moving forward and to also think on what we have not tried up to now that we can still try to do. So I'm really calling for your inputs. If you have questions, if you have suggestions, if you have different perspectives, also noting that we have representatives from the member states in the audience that may also have a different perspective that is not the one that the Commission today is sharing. I think this is also about this purpose of going together. So if the Commission has one perspective and all the other stakeholders have a different one, something is not functioning. So I think this is also the perspective that we need to put in this discussion. Is there anything we can do to change the perspective from the Commission? Because maybe this is the only way until the new CPR is there. Because as we discussed, CPR is there, 1025 is there, current cases are there until someone changes the outcome. So this we cannot change. And under this legal perspective, the mindset of the Commission, for some of us at least, seems to be very clear. We may still not want to accept it, which is a different story, but this mindset is clear. So I think I already talked too much, but it was rather to put you in the mindset that we need to move forward. Some of the suggestions this morning was already going in this direction. So if there are questions that you still have from this morning in terms of what is the path we still have in front of us that we can do to try to have harmonized standards, if you have things in mind that we can do also to improve the knowledge, the understanding in the standardization system. If you have ideas for the future system, whether to bring it into the SentinelX system, whether to develop something in parallel or something ad hoc, please do not hesitate. And I hope you have questions for us. Nicole?
I have a question to the dear panel that is there in front of me and to you, Gonzalo. During lunch, I talked to some of my members, NTC128, that are still very committed. We still do not have a wait knob button installed in our CentDC. So we are still working very proactively on this subject. There was one thing, two things, in fact, that I noticed on the presentation of Mr. Nieto. You showed two examples of delegated acts concerning building work requirement number 3 and 7. In the left above corner, that was the date of the draft delegated act. It was 2015. My question, is it already an approved delegated act? Do we already have an example of how addressing building work requirement number 7 in a delegated act or to implement it in a standardization request? Related with that issue, we have within CentDC 128, I think for the moment, three committed subcommittees that have prepared PCRs for the product groups. Have I understood it well that the PCRs should be referenced in the standardization request as evaluation method to indicate this issue? Concerning the building world requirement number 3, we have had a lot of a list of substances for which the product standard should give information. And you mentioned one sentence, and it stays turning in my mind. If you think that the specific substance is not relevant, I noticed that you said, but maybe I misheard it, you need to clarify that there is no content. I would like to have an explanation on how do we clarify, which justification method do we need to clarify that the specific substance is not present in a building product. In the past, I know I have repeated it in multiple times in also in other fora. In the past, we had classified without further testing and further testing. We have two subcommittees that have presented a technical dossier in the past to prove that there is no content. So that is my question. How? What is the justification method or base to clarify that there is no content? Okay. I'm still awake also.
Can I?
Oscar, yeah, please.
Yes, well, for the first question, probably Topane will probably have more information. So what I presented was the two standardization requests for reinforcing steel and solid fuel stops. They were presented to the standing committee and to the committee on standards in June, July. And there will be in the committee on standards for vote, I don't know when. So the situation is that. There is a delegated act for the basic requirement 7. This is another document. The draft was circulated before that, so I think early this year, if I remember well. And this is a document that will be rediscuss, and again, I think probably Commission will have more discussion. So this is about what I wrote in my slides. Maybe Topani can clarify better. But basic requirement 7, PCR. Of course, the PCR is the product category rules, how to apply 15804 to your specific product. To my view, and this is probably a personal view, but I have discussed this with the industry, the only way to really ensure that the implementation of the basic requirement 7 is really European and harmonized is if you have some rules in the standardization request, and in the standardization request you refer to the PCR, to these product category rules. And of course, if there are controversial issues in the PCR, they should be clear in the standardization request to avoid that then member states will challenge the result. So if I, in the standardization request, explain that there is a need for a PCR with these four scenarios or three scenarios for module C3, it will be clear and member states will be able to work with this. If you delay this or you don't have it in the standardization request, you have more chances to be rejected in a later stage. You can have a formal objection against your standard, so everything is much more complex. The last question, basic requirement 3. I would differentiate two situations. One thing is that the substance is not relevant to your product. This is the case, for example, when you have a product with release of VOC, but the intended use is outdoor. You need to clarify this in the standardization request, because otherwise, again, you can have problems. And I think you should clarify in the standardization request, because member states may have something to say, because some member state will say, oh, but in my country, I use it indoor. And then you may be blocked to do it. And there is another issue, which is the delegated effort without testing. This is, once you have to declare, if you have to declare, you can always request a delegated effort without testing to declare kind of conservative value without the need to test. But there are two different things. The first, what I put in my slides, was about removal of the essential characteristic of the substance from the list because it's not relevant and you don't want to create problems again in the assessment. And the issue with without delegate for without testing is if you have finally the substance in your standard and usually the industry is declaring it, you can have the option to declare a value, but you declare the value without testing.
Oscar, maybe just to clarify, and maybe then I'll ask Tapani to see if he wants to add something. I think the example that Oscar just gave is you should justify whether it should be kept in the standardization request or not. So it's completely two different scenarios. One is we consider that it's not relevant, so if it's not relevant, we should not include it in the standardization request, meaning that you may have to justify why it's not relevant. And this may, of course, end up in some controversial discussions. I think this is something that has been acknowledged. Reaction to fire is a good example. Germany is regulating for most of the products. In some standards, there is no reaction to fire because technically may not make sense. So in the sense of the standardization request, we could indeed take a decision to say it is regulated, but eventually we don't accept it in the standardization request. Because anyway, SAN and SANOAC will have to accept the request later on. This doesn't mean that we are solving the problem on the implementation of the CPR or of the exhaustiveness or that all the elements are covered. But this is a completely different discussion. The other one is more about finding a legal way to not to assess or to do it without the testing or assessing the characteristic. That's a completely different discussion that today already exists. And it's just a possibility. And you should not be mixed with what you need to do in the standard. Tapani, I don't know if you want to bring some additions. And maybe already expanded this question to something else. But
Thank you. Indeed, there are a couple of things. Oscar made a very good presentation now and others before him on these topics. So I did not find, in this respect, things to remark apart from a couple of minor details. What I would like to start with, in any case, is that I hope people got from my a couple of remarks there, following Domenico's main presentation, that we really need to work together, that we really need to find these joint solutions. Everybody is looking for them, and therefore I'd like to concur to Gonzalo's wish that please bring forward now and also on other occasions all the ideas you have. So the Commission certainly will listen. The Commission certainly will try to work with these ideas and get somewhere, because to cite Oscar, we really cannot wait for 5, 6, 7 years. Now, to these points picked up by you, Nicole. First, there is this issue of how basic work requirement 7 is going to be treated in the standardization requests. And here I'm now telling the very last situation how it seems to mold. We have the two first standardization requests, which started at the same time. But out of these two first, one is crucially important in the sense of timeliness. And you know which one it is. The other one also should come as soon as possible. But the one which is crucially important is the one with the link to eco-design, meaning space heaters. And in order to get these standards approved, so ready, approved, and cited before beginning 2022, we actually need to move forward, well, first with a standardization request, so that we have now been on both these two carrying out the both the member state consultations in the standing committee context and so on, and the non-governmental organizations consultations. So now we need to move like now. I hope something has been done today in my absence from the office with the inter-service consultation. And that means that this standardization request will contain an approach which could be called quick and dirty, meaning we are just putting something in. And then in the next stage, meaning compiling the standards for basic work requirement 7, we hopefully are a little further with our analysis, but independently of whether this is going through or not, we need to have the text ready for the standardizers at a very early stage. And I think everybody understands that in this case, there will be a text more or less coming from above, what needs to be then inserted. And then we are in a situation where we can still keep this time frame. And this is, of course, a highly political question and would probably entail some other exceptional steps later on. But I hope you understand. I believe some of you at least might be working with these products, but this is a more general issue. You know about the REFIT platform, and nobody wants a situation where these kind of settings flourish, where you have the same issue tackled by two different regulatory frames and so on. So this just has to be stopped. Now, for the following one, just steel, reinforcing steel, we believe that we would have the luxury of really preparing already for that one a more comprehensive approach and a more thought through and discussed and consulted approach on basic work requirement 7. This being said, without prejudice to the fact that I really don't know what is the steel industry's, European steel industry's view on this one. I have not spotted representatives of them here, and our attention is not to postpone for the sake or delay for the sake of delaying this. But, Oscar, you are completely correct. We have to have a solid base to continue. And also, therefore, this first standardization request on space heaters is going to contain an exceptional recital which says that without prejudice to further developments. Okay. Well, so we are not making a prejudicial set of standardization request contents or even standard contents in this context because of the reasons you mentioned. Then at this consideration, what we have to do internally and then with a consultation amongst the stakeholders, we also have to consider this product category rules aspect, especially from the procedural point of view. What is put in the standardization requests? What is expected then from the standardizers in the product TC? How can the other parties support it? Because it is something that probably needs collaboration, for example, with TC 350 and so on. So all these we will think together and certainly discuss with the relevant parties then in advance of starting to implement them. And then there is this third question about basic work requirement 3. And this is an interesting philosophical problem that you justify something that isn't there. So in this respect, seriously, you could actually have also another way, not in the situation where something clearly lacks all relevance, this indoors-outdoors example, but in a situation where you, for example, might have requirements somewhere, or you don't have them yet, but nobody knows what will be invented, and you would really, as the TC, like to make sure that, okay, now we are covered with this. And in these circumstances, one could also consider, indeed, a classified without testing solution. Just declare on the basis of a classified without testing that there is no substance of or there is, how did you say it, there is not a quantity of which can be measured, can be detected. And this you can do both as a delegated act or by incorporating this in the standardization request. Yeah. And so this should at least be considered if the scientific evidence is there. Yeah. And it will be an easy thing then. We will get the evidence. We will do the customary verifications there. It will anyhow be, as you heard from several speakers, a long process when the standardization request is drafted. So there will be plentiful of time of verifying these kind of things in the same context. We will have to organize when these things come. We will have to organize probably something similar as we had in the fire area, yep, meaning a separate subgroup dealing with these things, subgroup of advisory group. But, okay, then we will organize it.
Okay. Thanks, Tapani. I think what I also noted from your words is then when there is will, things can go through. So even in different or in difficult situations. So maybe this is a message that we can also explore.
Maybe I can confirm this, that it is a political necessity of, indeed, getting certain things into an implementable stage. And that means that these kind of cases would perhaps be allocated and probably be allocated extra resources and extra efforts. And what cannot be promised is that we would sway the rules or do something like this. But what I think can be expected is that if this kind of priority is taken, and I don't think the space heaters will be the only one in this respect, then the chances, of course, rise. I think it should be also mentioned that we do not exclude, now I'm looking at Eric and somebody else perhaps here in the room, we do not exclude that a technical committee comes up with a standard which really fulfills all our kind of demands. I think this is totally possible, and we'll just have to then concentrate our efforts in allowing this to happen, making it possible, and so on.
And I think that's why we are here, yeah, because if we didn't believe, we wouldn't be here today. Anyway, moving on. Are there any other questions? I would assume. Anne-Marie, please. Pierre. Anne-Marie first.
Good afternoon. Anne-Marie Meewe from the Standardization Institute. I'm secretary to the TC 254. I just want to ask something about how to deal with the non-mandate stated characteristics, because I'm a little bit confused. When I was hearing the presentation of Eric, there was kind of like an advice to split, maybe it could be a solution to split the harmonized standard in a mandated part and a non-mandated part. It was repeated afterwards in the presentation by Nuno. And then Mr. Tapani gave a reaction saying that is not a good idea. So, hearing then later on the other presentation of the person of DJ Grow, well, he kind of gave me a feeling that every attempt we would make within the current system, it would fail. It wouldn't flow or float. I believe those were the words. So actually, I'm now curious what we should do. Maybe the only solution is to go for a standardization request, always. So don't find any other solution. Is that what I must understand from today's presentations? Always go for the standardization request, meaning that every mandate that is now existing related to the blocked harmonized standards shall has to be revised in the standardization request. So that is would mean a lot of work for the European Commission. Are they able to deal with this or not? Because I believe my participants are willing to work on this, but only if they have a feeling that it's useful, that is something done with it and not taking years, and then hearing, no, we don't deal with it anymore because there is a future CPR, for example. Many questions in my head, but I would like to have some guidance in this because I'm trying to translate all things I've heard into the practical comments. So tomorrow I have to go back to my work and I will have a phone call with my chairman and I have to explain what should be the best way. And the answer, not knowing, for me it's not an answer. So I hope maybe there could be some practical
maybe
advice.
Before Tapani, I think I can try to give some additional information to the questions. I think this is also some of the aspects we raised this morning. So in your case, today we have a current framework, which is a mandate. Most likely, we had an answer to the mandate for those standards, which can or cannot be in line with what today is cited in the official journal. So the logical thing to do as a first step or the first solution would be we revise the answer to the mandate, we inform the Commission, we try to deal with it. If it's a question of clarifying some of the essential characteristics and not adding new characteristics to the standards. Now, what you are saying is this seems not to be an option anymore. What we discussed this morning was one alternative is that because the first option doesn't work, standardization request is a long-term perspective or a longer term in a way. Let's go for a separation of the standard to try to find a short-term solution because the other ones don't seem so clear. So I would say this is, in a way, what you have been asking, Anne-Marie, and I think this is where we end up. Today, this situation already exists in some standards. There are standards that have these multi-parts, and some go eventually dealing with characteristics in the framework of a basic work requirement, which is a very subjective definition. I think we all have been discussing this interpretation, and the only one that may be more reliable is if it's a mandated or standardization request characteristic, that's the only way to make it clear whether it's in or out. So do you have a different answer from this morning, Tapani? I think that will be perhaps my question. And I think we should also look, and you came back to this point, we are looking for alternatives. We cannot say select door one and end up with a second problem. So this is something that we need to be, I think, keep in mind, and also noting your own words a few minutes ago.
Indeed, what we should not stop from doing are presenting these ideas independently how they then would be assessed, because if you never present them, they definitely are not going to be thought through. The reason why I had a critical view and still have a critical view on the splitting of the standards is that, of course, SEN can standardize what they like in whatever way they like, so also outside mandates and so on. The question is just that the very moment we create a situation where you have, and sorry to say, Erik, I know there are people who do disagree with me on this, the very moment you have a system where you have the real essential characteristics, let alone then in one standard very correctly dealt with, And then you have the other characteristic, which still have a connotation with basic work requirements, the fulfillment of basic work requirements, in somewhere else, maybe in another standard. The very moment this is like an invitation for those member states, those other parties who would have an interest, willingness, wish to be able to use also these other characteristics. Obviously, they are useful, because otherwise they wouldn't be there. So use also these other characteristics for their purposes. And this, I'm sorry to say, is not a commission view. This is the view of the court, that this goes against the correct interpretation of the CPD and now also the CPR when you look at the judgments of this year. So this is why my prediction is that such solutions, although currently might exist somewhere there, perhaps and probably without Commission knowing of them, we would not accept in the future. And I think one can be of different minds of the desirability of, for example, national marks or other systems based on these kind of additional things. But at least the Commission has been relatively coherent, and I don't see any change in this, in our views, since 10 years ago on this. And this view has also been delivered. You remember the court case of a given member state where we now are sitting a little more than 10 years ago, forbidding the use of national marks for regulatory purposes in the field of mutual recognition. Why on earth should it be allowed in the harmonized sphere if it cannot be done even in mutual recognition? You look at C227-06. And this brings us to the solution which, as you know, I have tried to propagate at least 2 years now, which is that the way to solve this system in a rational way, so in order to keep these characteristics on board, are the standardization requests. 2 years ago, there was no inkling about the CPR revision. Well, now, as you heard from also from Manfred, there is an inkling, and this inkling could turn to rather a quick opening for the Commission to start really preparing it, and these preparations might be asked to be done in rather a quick speed also. So, let's vision a situation not 8 years forwards, but 2 years forward, where we are finalizing the regulatory process or somewhere in the middle of it, but already in any case knowing that where this thing is going. And we have clearly two alternatives, logically. And now I'm not predicting anything, I'm just saying that either we continue with the current system of harmonized standards as harmonized technical specifications, or we don't. There are two, as always in life, there are two chances. Either I start with the left foot or I start with the right foot. So, and I'm not really predicting here anything. So, in these circumstances, what instead is pretty clear on the basis of all the consultations is that we will continue with the idea of common technical language. And if and when we continue with the idea of common technical language, we need the building blocks for it. What are the building blocks? Essential characteristics, assessment methods for them. What is the content? We heard several times now of the standardization requests. Essential characteristics and assessment methods for them. So, the work, what is now being done, what is now even started, is not going to go wasted. It can be used in the future, whatever is then the direction which these things are taking. Well, of course, with one exception. If all decision makers decide in their grand wisdom that
we need to repeal the whole CPR. I have heard this kind of rumors also, that this kind of ideas have gained some support, that we need to repeal the whole system. Of course, then we cannot use this work, at least not properly. But I personally hope that this is a distant alternative, anyhow.
Yeah, Eric, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Stefan. The court case is 11 and a half years. We still remember very well in this small member state. But I think it's not necessary to go into a number of gray characteristics. There are clear characteristics which have no relationship with the basic works requirements whatsoever, but that are vital for the other stakeholders. Contractors using products, installing products, they also need information about construction products, how to glue them or whatever, gel time, things like that. So there are clearly a number of things that we should be able to address in product specifications which have no relationship whatsoever with the CPR, and that is what we were referring to. I think if we start talking about the gray area, then we are making things more difficult. I think there are, of course, gray things, but if we talk about the clearly distinct characteristics, and it's let's say easier to abstract the idea and to see whether it can fly. I think we all have to reflect on what we have heard today. I think in some cases the TC might be persuaded to continue. I think in other cases we have already seen that some of the TCs have stopped working. They have been demotivated. Some are considering de-harmonization of their standards. So we have to see how far we can go, whether we can take our TC on board. I think Nicole and I, we will certainly try to take TC128 further on this way. But the clear message that I received from you is also that you will need resources. We were talking about the basic works requirement number 7. We need a delegated act, or 2 or 3 delegated acts. So the European Commission will need resources. So I think it's up to the construction sector, to CPE, FIEC, SBS, EBC, to get together and see whether we can try and sit together, perhaps also with SENA, with EOTA, and the European Commission, to see whether additional resources are a possibility. For those TCs that want to continue, and they will want to continue very fast, because we don't want to wait 5-10 years with the publication of standards, and see whether there are possibilities and resources.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Well, I think it seems clear that the outcome is standardization request is nothing new. I would say is a possibility. It's always been. I think maybe we are just lacking time in terms of not using it before as a solution. There was Pierre there, and then next one.
I'm sorry, I won't have a question about long-term strategy. It's about current issue. I'm Pierre Villain from Assa Abloy. We have currently some new candidate harmonized standards which are on the pipe in the SEN inquiry process. It could happen that this standard goes till the formal vote with a majority of approvals from the different member states. Could this standard be published at the end of the SEN process, even if we had a negative assessment from the AS consultant? In this case, it would be a voluntary standard, not cited in the ODU. But for us, it's much better to have a voluntary standard than no standard at all.
I would say, I suppose you are talking about a standard that has perhaps been proposed for citation in one of the answers to the mandate some time ago. And it has never been cited in the official journal. I would say those perhaps are the cases that are in the easiest situation, because if you try to get it right, you'll get more problems than just to publish as a normal standard. I think the easy answer, yes. We have had some cases of standards that have been intended to be harmonized, but at the last minute, because we were not able to solve all the comments at the formal vote, then the decision was we can publish without being harmonized. The technical boards have been discussing these cases, also to coordinate the approach, because if you're linking to a standardization request, it becomes a little bit more sensible, I would say, because if you have proposed to deliver standards in offer to the Commission, there was a work program, there was a clear set of standards. If you go back historically, of course, most of the mandates were open-ended. And I would say CPR is not one of those cases. I think it has always been relatively structured with clear answers to the mandates, with proposals. So the system has been somehow controlled by the Commission since the beginning. So I don't think the case of the Commission not being on hands on the documents and what has been done, this has not been the case. But in your concrete case, I would say this is a possibility, and if the industry or the stakeholders in SAN think this is the only way, at least to have a standard for the time being, and in this case you will not create the confusion of one standard being available and another one cited in the official journal, because it's the first version of the document. Tapani, I suppose from the, I would say, the CPR perspective, or the harmonization, there be, of course, other aspects that we are perhaps missing, but at the moment this is the best we can do, I would say.
Yes, I might continue the same line of thought. A harmonized standard can exist only if SEN adopts it. So we are not in a situation of forcing or compelling SEN to adopt anything. Of course, if there exists a standardization request which SEN accepts, and then some things are left undelivered, this could have financial consequences, but this is obvious, I would say. Another issue then is that what are the other consequences of deharmonizing some areas, because this could often then link to deharmonization, meaning that you have the old harmonized standard there somewhere. You would easily have, for these kind of areas, a plethora of manufacturers who have been now CE marking maybe a decade, maybe even longer, according to these ones. And I am not saying this because I would somehow dislike or hate this sequence. I'm just saying this because this is the practical consequence. You have, let's say, 10,000 or 20,000 manufacturers there somewhere, or even all over the world, having the CE marking and wanting to continue with it. And that means that these manufacturers, of course, have an alternative of doing so by going to EOTA. And drafting the EAD is not going to be difficult. The EOTA bodies can copy-paste this voluntary standard, which probably is updated and quite good and so on. But what will cause some difficulties is the issuing of ETAs with these numbers for the current structure. And I'm now talking only about one standard. Now I'm again pouring some cold water upon everybody. We currently have, we checked not so long ago, somewhere close to 90 harmonized standards cited, which SEN has withdrawn. In a sense, we have exactly the same legal situation with them. We don't actually have a standard any longer. And the very moment this is brought into some kind of a procedure, formal procedure, we really don't know what is going to be the outcome. And I said what I said about one harmonized standard being deharmonized. 90. You could multiply the impact with 90. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I know this situation for certain reasons. The other thing is that I have not yet received from a given TC information about their potential decision making on this topic, because we need to have the technical committee view, and actually SEN management side needs to have the technical committee view.
And so this would need to be somehow come up with, even in cases where the technical committee is not perhaps reaching consensus on this. And therefore, these procedures might be a little more difficult. We know that something is in the pipeline in Sen coming our way pretty soon on some isolated cases already.
But yeah, and coming back to this, to the original question, so in this case we are not in one of the 90 because this is not an unharmonized standard, so I think this is not a problem. But what I would like to note as well, we have been discussing with the technical boards the overall horizontal discussion about not ending up harmonizing standards that were before harmonized. And I think this is also an important point to liaise with the standardization unit, because indeed up to now we have this practice. In some cases we offer the standard, it's not cited. In others we decide not to offer anymore, or we take out the harmonizing elements because we don't manage to find an agreement on the way forward. So it's not because there is an intention to not work together. So, but there are implications and there are discussions and there are a lot of questions that should be addressed. Maybe this is also one of the points that not only from the CPR perspective needs to be further forward looking in terms of how this connection works. But at the same time, if you end up in a situation like this, we don't have another alternative. And the one that you were somehow raising, looking into other organizations, it's not our own business. I would say Sen and Senelec need to care about their own processes. So we are not, of course, caring about what the other organization may wish to do. There is this risk, of course, but at least for our stakeholders, this is the only way forward that we can offer. So I would say in this case, this is relatively simple. For the others, may become a little bit more complex. And we are aware that the number of standards that is withdrawn from the catalogs, some of them may not yet be necessarily withdrawn, but that have been superseded by other references is relatively high, especially in the CPR framework. There was also still another question there. Yes, please. Here in the middle, Wallace.
I am Ulrich Hübner from Austria, representing the Austrian sawmill and timber industry. And I saw the flowchart for the standardization request. And as a former site manager, I would also see some dates on it, some weeks, how long does it take. And then I would also like to see the implementation of the SEN procedures into this flowchart. I fear that an A4 is not sufficient anymore, but anyhow, we need a reliable system with a flowchart, but also with some timeframes. And this makes our industry motivated to go this path. If we don't have this, it's very difficult to motivate people. I would like to, but I need information about the time frame and about the reliable system.
Yeah, Oscar, go ahead.
I would like just, in previous version of the document, there was also information about the process in SEN. The problem is that the document, as you can imagine, was double the size, and we thought that probably makes more sense to refer to the flowcharts that SEN has already for the process in SEN, and you will find them in the website of SEN. As regards the deadlines, I think it's a comment I have received every time we have discussed this document. In the text, you have some comments about that, but the problem is that in practice, there are no deadlines for most of the steps. So in practice, it can be really from 3 months to 1 year or to forever, because sometimes just these documents just go to a point that they cannot be developed anymore. So I would like, I think it's very, it could be very useful, but we didn't manage to do it. So it's not because we didn't want, it's because the process don't have this kind of restrictions.
And maybe if you can add, Oscar, I think, well, we did discuss and we said usually this is the amount of time that will take the consultation period. What you are trying to put a figure on is on the finding a consensus in a way of the document. So I think we, well, Tapani has been referring to the standardization requests like the one for steel. We had the document with 15 pages. After one of the consultation steps, we get 45 pages of comments. So you cannot really measure how much time you need to address all these elements. Of course, you can give some guidance in terms of the steps and how much time it could be taking each individual step. But this process, this kind of consensus building, and in a way, if you are thinking about the exhaustiveness, it may take time for different stakeholders to understand even the concept and also to acknowledge that they may have to give up on some of the inputs. I think this is... We can try to speed up things, but we will not necessarily get a better result. What is important is that people understand. And I think at the end of GIS Action 5, this was the overall objective. Is today, it looks complicated, but if you know or if you want to provide your input in the system, depending on which kind of stakeholder you are able to find your way through the system. It may not be the easiest one to get through the different stakeholder groups, but you know where to go or who to address. If you are at the national level, you can either go through a standardization organization, you can go to the national authorities, because they both are involved in the process. Whether in the Standing Committee on Construction, whether on the Committee on Standards, whether on the standardization level in our standardization request ad hoc groups, there are different possibilities. There are also the consultation of external stakeholders at different periods as well. So it's a question of knowing where to go. And I think if people start knowing a little bit better the process, we are also closing some of these gaps that we referred this morning about the gap between the European knowledge and what goes to the national level. But we tried, but we said there is no purpose on putting dates because then we are just misleading people in a way. So this was something that we discussed. There is one at the end. And then still two more, and then I will
still
start wrapping up.
Still about the standardization, Alexander Beltrao from Tata Steel. Still about the standardization requests. So it is clear to me that the standardization request will solve the problem of the additional characteristics because you will include them in the implementing act, and it doesn't seem to me a big problem. Because you have the characteristics, and at the end of the day, if you don't like them, you don't declare them. So, but what about the classes and thresholds? So will the implementing act solve also the problem of the classes and thresholds? Do we discuss the classes and thresholds at that point, or is not part of the implementing act? And after that, we still have to go through delegated acts to approve the classes and thresholds?
I could give my opinion, but yeah, Tapani.
This can be done very, very simply. Yes, we can solve the classes and thresholds issue in this same context, and it should be solved. Oscar had a slide saying that this is one of the purpose now in the Thrive Towards Standardization request. We don't want to do double work in this respect.
Okay. There was Pete, and then Bernard also on the side.
It fits also within the thermal insulation TC88. So we have the CPR, we have products, we have kits, we have systems, we have intended use, even we have potential uses or whatever. My simple question is basic requirement 2, fire. There is, as far as I have been informed, a new mandate in preparation to deal with the fire facade resistance, or is it the roof resistance of a roof covering? So my question is, Tapani, in how far, if in the European Commission there are also other mandates developed for assessments, in how far we can already act them or put them in the draft standards for standardization request?
I think this is a very good question, and understandably coming from a person who is involved in one of these pending standardization requests, meaning the one for thermal insulation products. Our constant advice for the industry and for the TCs has been that for time-saving reasons, it might be very rational to develop these standards and the standardization request more or less simultaneously. And I think, Oscar, you said it very well, meaning that one should put in the standardization request everything that is now considered to be necessary for the standards. So if you know this, you can already start the preparatory works for the standard. And then when it comes to issues like facade fire and so on, this is a little less predictable what are the time frames, because the development of these test methods and so on is not the easiest of things. But indeed, I can confirm that this kind of work is underway. We are evaluating, as far as I understand, the tenders for the most recent call, and this contract should be then concluded very early next year, but this then takes its time before it comes to some kind of a conclusion.
For TC336 again, we are currently finalizing the pre-drafting of our standardization request project, and we had a lot of discussion about the installation characteristics, which are not harmonized but very useful for both producers and users. And we noted the option to include these installation characteristics, to list them in the standardization request, aside the harmonized essential characteristics, in order to be able to include them in the harmonized standards once the standardization request will be approved. Can you confirm this is an option?
If you want, I can also tell the sensor-like perspective on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, please, you start with that one. It's
yeah, so we did. We have been discussing that, and I, of course, we see perhaps the interest somehow to highlight that certain aspects can also be included in the standards. So this is somehow giving a possibility to do that, and somehow is dealing with some of the things that are today in the standards. On the other hand, if you also think about the horizontal perspective of the standardization request, we are also enlarging the scope of the standardization request to cover something that is not really the scope of the standardization request. Meaning, the standardization request is focused on the elements linked with the CPR implementation. This is what we are talking about, is more rather on product use, information, and so on, which it is linked, but it's not the objective. The only challenge we see from the standardization perspective is that then we are even increasing the risk that something may go wrong on the long term, because things that are not necessarily crucial, and we still think that they could eventually remain in the standard, but maybe we should discuss the possibility of they don't necessarily need to be in the standardization request. Because the risk is, very basic example in heating appliances, distance to combustible materials. Today, this is what we have in the standard. We put in the standardization request that we are going to go through to the most efficient standardization request process we have ever seen. 6 months later, we don't want distance to combustible materials anymore. We call it something else. We will have a problem if you want to formally say the standard needs to match the standardization request. Do we want to run the risk of getting to something that is not even the crucial part of the standardization request? From the standardization perspective, we have been discussing these elements. It's one of the points that has been highlighted. We may receive different perspectives, but it's obvious that SensorLike V2 Working Group 9 will need to find an approach for all standardization requests. And eventually, you may have to have an ad hoc approach in some product families, because some products may be, in their approach different, but this is important, I would say, and this is also forward-looking to avoid the risks that something will go wrong at the end of the process. But maybe you have a different perspective.
No, I think these were very valuable thoughts you presented, Gonzalo. And I would add a couple of aspects here. Firstly, what should perhaps be pre-warned is that I am not so eager to put equation science between what I call quick and dirty and then the most effective standardization process. So this
that's my way of reading.
These two really well. It would be so nice if we had the luxury of going deeper into things with this one too, these space heaters, but I don't think we will. So whatever is done there is going to be exceptional, this can be said. And one of these exceptional things is that we have to prepare even the standard texts at the very early stage, which actually means that the risk of losing something because we notice it after a couple of months after the standardization request is finalized and delivered, is pretty small because we have to have almost everything clear already much earlier. And in these circumstances, this goes then for the general timeline. And I think everybody has understood the importance of these installation features. So this is information what the users need. And therefore, quite as you said, Eric, a little while ago, therefore, presenting this in standards is, I would say, really necessary. Now, I think there indeed are two options. One is the one you brought forward in your question, thinking of including them in the standardization request in order to get them into the harmonized standard. There, with the scheme you, Oscar, presented, it might be a little hard to fit them nicely in anywhere, but okay, this is of course adjustable. Or then the other one, quite as you, Eric, correctly said, is to make a separate standard out of these ones and list these there. If I were to guess which would be less risky in the current stage, maybe the separate standard would be it. But one must remember that we don't either know what would be the line taken in the future CPR, meaning we might have pretty soon something out there in some kind of a form which actually broadens the sphere dealt with under the CPR. Many of you have been answering, because I think the experts must have been well chosen, because I heard many of you that you have been answering these preliminary survey questions. So there you already have these kind of questions out in the open, that what if we would go a little wider. And so in these respects, this also again, remember, depends on the time frames. And so I'm sorry that we can't give more conclusive answers, but maybe this kind of enlightens the issues involved.
Thanks, Tapani. But Bernard, and also to ensure you that this is for sure one of the recommendations that I think Sense and Light need to make at horizontal level, because if not, we run the risk that we will have different approaches in different technical committees for the same topics. And in some cases, we may even eventually go into very similar products having different approaches, which may even be confusing for the market. There is still one question? Yeah, maybe the last question then, and then we will move to the final conclusions. Yes, please.
Thank you. My name is Václava Holušová. I am from Czech Office for Standard Metrology and Testing, and our testing department is responsible for implementation of the CPR, and we are also a notifying authority for Czech notified bodies. And we are very often confronted with question about standards, harmonized standards, which had been already withdrawn by SEN, and the new versions of standards which are not yet published in official journal. As I listened to the discussion this morning, so it seems that we cannot expect any rapid progress in citations of standards. So we would like to ask whether would it be possible possible to do something with these dates of withdrawal? I mean, to set them not absolute date, but relative date. I mean, related to the date of publication of the following version of standard or something like that. Because this problem really is very painful for manufacturers and investors and even market surveillance authorities. So they asked me to ask this question here. Thank you.
So I can give for sure the Sensenlight perspective. We have been discussing also within our technical boards the implementation of dates, not only for this purpose, but for other purposes as well. But one of the key elements is up to now, a date of withdrawal is very often used as the date of the end of the coexistence in the sense of the CPR, which, to be honest, it's been at least 5 years that have never matched up to now. So there is definitely a problem. But this is not only CPR, and Federico is there, knows this is becoming an horizontal issue. So we also need to coordinate with the Commission in terms of dates, whether there is some kind of, I would say, agreement that can be handled. Noting, of course, that we are talking about completely different dates. Some are for the implementation of national standards, others are for the use of the standards as harmonized standards. So this is extremely important to make a clarification between the two. So this is something for sure that we can note, and this has been discussed. And just to highlight as well that there was and there is still a common agreement that harmonized standards under the CPR have 21 months of date of withdrawal, which was intended to give time for the offering, for citation, and still give coexistence period. I think that the only challenge here is that we don't know up front anymore which standards will be cited. So we cannot really do futurology in a way to know which ones will have a problem. So that's why this discussion is a little bit more important, and maybe we need to reconsider different sets of dates as well as a possibility for the function of the system, or at least to have a clear agreement between the Commission, SENS and ALEC about this functioning of the dates. What is clear is that today, I can imagine people are misusing and sometimes you end up in problems. But also to highlight, and I think you can also ask any representative from our members, if someone wants to have a standard that has been superseded, they will be able to get it in the national standardization bodies. Of course, in line with our internal regulations, they will not be able to advertise it anymore because it has been superseded and they have to announce the new versions. But this is also one of the aspects that needs to be coordinated with the European Commission about these clarifications, because there are some of the horizontal criteria for the harmonized standards assessment that very often the comments go in that sense. And this seems, there may be some kind of legal interpretation, but technically speaking, the documents remain available. But anyway, this is something that we will note and we will explore further. Tapani, I don't know if you want to add something from your side?
Just that indeed, we have lifted up the same question in our internal discussions, and I think we have also relayed this to Sen and maybe in a sense participated in this as an initiative in your internal discussions. This also links to the other issue what I mentioned before about this the legal status of these standards which have been withdrawn, meaning one might need to consider to do something with that in order to remove the threat that something horrible happens to them without us being able to do anything about it.
Okay, so thank you, gentlemen, for being able to reply all the questions that we had and all the decisions.